This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Yeah,
that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta! What is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! It is good to have you guys listening. It is a beautiful day. And, Mike, we are down here in the Gulch getting ready for Atlanta United Monterrey tonight. It's the second leg, guys. And, of course, you know, this is CONCACAF Champions League. We're going to talk about it. We'll break it down 7 ways to Sunday. And we hopefully will show well tonight. I, to say we're going to win, listen, I'm not going to tell you that, but I hope we show up and show well. And you said it in the crossover there with Andy and Randy talking about energy, and we need a lot of that. But as we got down here to the Gulch, we got to start the show by telling you this story. And we will talk plenty about free agency. We will talk plenty about the Falcons. We got Braves conversation on the way in less than 20 minutes with Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager, who joined us late yesterday in the program for those who missed it. Mm-hmm. Very good stuff in regards to our pitching staff and whether or not the Braves are going to go spend money. But, Mike, we get down here, and there is a guy that is responsible for all of our remote broadcasts. His name is Eric. He is an amazing engineer. He is the best on-site engineer in the business.
This guy is a gold standard when it comes to broadcast radio. And thanks to Eric for getting us on the air today. It was kind of fun, though. This was kind of a team-building exercise, watching Squid Billy, our executive producer, and Eric trying to figure out how to get the Honda generator to work today.
They were both arguing. Squid's going, it's flooded.
You're flooding the darn
it's
thing.
It's flooded. And then Eric's like, they got the wrong damn generator.
So this was a good team building exercise. We all came together. This is nice. Nice to see the guys working together and problem solving here. And now we're on the air. And Mike, if you're up there in Midtown getting the backup generator, bring it anyway,
because yes,
I don't trust either one of these guys.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll be here doing the show from 2 to 7. So come on down if you got tickets. If you don't, Carl, to your point, because of the showing so far, I think there are going to be some good seats available because this is something new with CONCACAF and the Champions League. But hopefully we'll get some good vibe and get the fans rocking and rolling tonight.
We'd love to get a chance to see you guys down here. Again, Mike was not lying in his description of where we are sitting. Right above us is the Stripes Define Us. Mm-hmm. There's a big billboard. Then you look to our left, and we can look directly at the big sign, State Farm Arena. And, of course, behind us is Mercedes-Benz. Mm-hmm. But what is directly to our left?
Well, we've got, again, the Port-a-Johns. So, again, if nothing else, we're going to increase our visibility and our traffic, foot traffic, after guys have 4 or 5 beers or whatever your bladder forces you to go take a break, come by and say hi. And also, we got Norfolk Southern behind us, too. So, always love the proposition of being covered in coal dust while doing a broadcast.
That's a good call.
Come on down and join the party.
Yeah, and if you hear that noise, that is the train literally like 20 feet behind. Us.
We
okay.
didn't. I mean, no, silly question. We didn't have a bigger extension cord.
It is literally 20 feet behind us.
So anyway, come on down and partake in the radio magic today here at the Gulch.
All right, man. We invite you guys to follow us across all social media platforms, and you can contact us. So many ways to interact with Dukes and Bell. On Twitter, 929 The Game is the radio station. Of course, Mike is at Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, this radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the station on Facebook, like us, and also on Instagram, guys. You can find us as well. We're going to talk plenty about Atlanta United and Frank DeBoer, who, by the way, said that he had a team meeting, and they talked about what they need to do. And one of the big things Frank DeBoer said was, you know, even if you have 70 or 30% of possessions, if you don't create chances, which is something we haven't done consistently, it doesn't matter. So he said, listen, you know, the formation, Mike, tonight is not going to change. They just don't have enough time to do those things that maybe some of us fans want to see. But the attacking style, that's something he said he talked to the players about.
Because you're playing three games in a week, guys. Remember, we just played against, unfortunately, Cincinnati. That was a real lackluster performance. Now you got this match in the Champions League, and then you got Philadelphia coming up on Sunday. So when people say, well, what is it? It's kind of like in the NBA. You know, coaches always say it's so hard to coach and teach the younger players, especially the rookies, because the schedule just gets so busy. We'll have a little chance to catch our breath, as we talked about with both Jason Longshore and Darren Eales. You'll hear that conversation coming up, Carl, after the Philly match on Sunday. They'll have almost, I think it's 13 days off with an international break, and Pity Martinez to go down to Argentina and maybe get some positive reinforcement from Lionel Messi and the other guys and come back here. And if not that his head isn't right, but obviously it's been a very discouraging start between getting mugged, not getting any calls, and not being able to get in the flow of the offense.
It's so true that we need some time right now. And again, you know, we're the last guys to make excuses, but hopefully that's the time we need to mesh,
right,
get back on the pitch, train a little bit, and fix some things. But in the meantime, tonight, you just got to go play. You got to go let it loose and play. And that's not, you know, being wild and crazy and panicking. That's just go relax and go play and see what happens. By the way, that's a nice kit, man.
Thank you, bro. It's the new gear for 2019. I got my Tito Villalba jersey. Isn't that tight, though?
It is.
And by the way, it is tight, so always go a size up. I want a double X on this bad boy. So make sure you always, whatever you think you can fit in, go a size up with the Adidas soccer jerseys. A word to the wise.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Guys, in the National Football League, and if you listen yesterday and you listen every day, and we hope you do, it's a big show, 5 hours. You know that the Falcons signed two guards. And this gets back to what Dan Quinn said in the offseason, literally heading to the offseason. And we made fun of it because it was kind of weird to hear Coach say this, but he was like, keep two guys on the O-line, scrap the rest.
Right.
Well, it looks like that's what's going on. Now, when you sign Jamon Brown, 3 years, $18.75 million, and James Carpenter to 4 years and $21 million, this is a lot more significant money, Mike, than I thought the Falcons were going to spend. It also tells me that these guys are going to be guys we're counting on a lot.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you're not going to pay these guys this kind of coin. Hey, Norfolk Southern.
Hey, there's a train.
Hit that horn, Joe. Give the listeners a treat.
Give me something.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is.
Thanks, brother. There you go. Get that man a hey man. Quick, Bo, throw him a hey man. But, yeah, man, the thing about the salaries, it did kind of open my eyes a little bit. And thanks again to Matt Ryan for taking more money earlier.
And
moving along. Now we'll see what happens with Julio. If he does likewise, maybe that's also part of the plan. But, yeah, these dudes, they're not splashy. And I saw D-Led's taking his 9-9 today on Twitter saying, yeah, the fans are kind of lukewarm. Look, as I said yesterday and we talked about it, as long as if one of these guys becomes Chris Chester, and they're actually paying both these guys to be really good.
They are.
They trust Sombrello. We don't know if Fusco's what he's going to give us. You know, we haven't written Schrader off, although it sounds like they haven't. Maybe he can battle and win the job back. But either way, we do have more depth. If nothing else, we're a better balanced and more deep offensive line than we were last year.
We had two guards. Check that. Four guards who weren't getting the job done last year. Remember, two of those guys got hurt, Levitre and then Fusco. And then the two guys you put in there weren't any better, okay? That was certainly not an upgrade. And for Falcon fans, I just want you to think about this. Where we were and what we're getting is better, okay? Now, how much better? Only the season's going to tell us. But we had four guards that we went through last year that weren't good.
No, and you saw the pressure coming up from the middle. And remember, Alex Mack, you know, Alex was a Pro Bowler. You know, I mean, he's an All-Pro as far as the writers are concerned. He's getting older, and he had no help on either side. I mean, so Alex, he's in a position where, you know, he needs sometimes a little guy to help him chip somebody, you know. And those guys really weren't up to the task. So we'll see what these new dudes can do. And all we want to see, guys, is protect Matt Ryan. There's no point in having all that money invested in Julio and Matt, and you can't protect him, and you can't run the ball. And another thing is, and I know we've not talked a lot about it this offseason, what the heck is Devontae Freeman going to be for us?
It's a great question.
Can he get back to being close to that 15 and 16 level performance?
But Mike, I'm still waiting. You know, the free thing is one of the question marks that Mike and I will be talking a lot about as we get closer to, you know, OTAs and training camp, which will start earlier, by the way, this year, simply because we're playing in that Hall of Fame game on August 1st. But it's a great question. Where's Tevin Coleman going to end up? I said to Bo today, and Bo's producing the show back in the studio, Craig behind the glass, our engineer and our onside guy is Eric. But I said to Bo, where's Tevin going to end up? There are some real interesting players today, as we get to the official start at 4 o'clock, where a lot of these deals become official that you've been hearing about, and some guys that are still out there. Coleman is one of them, and he's being linked to all these teams. I just don't know who's going to pull the trigger, which gets us to the other big story that we didn't get a chance to really talk about because it happened after we got home last night, and that is Le'Veon Bell and Odell Beckham. Now, the Odell Beckham thing, Mike, you know, the Giants, they're getting killed. Everybody's going, what in the heck did they do with trading Odell Beckham? Did they get enough in this deal?
Well, I mean, at first blush, my first reaction was, Dave Gettleman, the former Carolina GM, who's now the Giants GM second year, is he expecting an Antonio Brown-type situation to develop with Odell Beckham? Because what world are we living in when you get one of the top five wide receivers and they both get traded?
That's
now,
right. One
guy obviously generates the trade by becoming a malcontent in Antonio Brown. Odell Beckham's had his antics, and he's talked about money. They gave him a new contract. Why would you give him a new contract 1 year just to move him a year later?
Makes no sense.
And then you're telling me you're going to hold on to Eli for one more season. They still may draft Haskins or who knows, maybe Kyler Murray. But they did get something for him. They got a hell of a lot more than the Steelers got for Antonio Brown. You get a first and a third, and you get Jabril Peppers, who was a first-rounder last year out of Michigan.
So, in essence, and this is how you have to think about it, you're getting two first-round picks.
Or 2 years ago out of Michigan.
Yeah, and a third. And you're getting a guy who's already, you know, played in this league in Peppers. I don't think the Giants got robbed. Now, where they hurt themselves is that additional $16 million cap hit
right. That's
going to hurt them from going out and spending. It is not $21 million like the Steelers, but that's still a lot of money that hampers your club right now. So, how bad were things? I don't know, but if you're willing to take that kind of cap hit, it must have been one of these things where Gettleman saw the fact that this was the writing was on the wall. But for me, I don't think the Giants got robbed. Now for Cleveland, holy crap.
How about you got the LSU connection? Now, granted, LSU never had a quarterback to get these guys to rock, but two guys in the class of 2014.
Yep.
Jarvis Landry, of course, went second to the Dolphins in that draft, second round. And obviously, Odell Beckham goes to the G-Men. These guys are good friends, and now they get a chance to do some damage in Cleveland.
You've got Chubb in the backfield, David Njoku, the tight end.
Good tight end. Yep.
Callaway is still there, the wide receiver out of Florida. You've got, on the defensive side, Myles Garrett. You've got a plethora of number one picks across the defense.
And Baker Mayfield delivering the football. Baker Mayfield's got to be, he must have woke up like, you got to be kidding me.
It makes his job a lot easier. So, listen, I'm not going to tell you the Browns to the Super Bowl. This is an interesting Browns team now, all of a sudden.
Well, for years, Browns fans just take it in the chin to the Steelers. Maybe that's going to end for a minute. You know what I mean? Maybe you go back to the days of Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
You go back to those old days, man. It is certainly something that we're going to be looking at with Bernie Kosar. That was the great Browns teams that couldn't beat the Broncos. But it is kind of interesting. The worm eventually does turn for everybody. But the way it's gone down. Meanwhile, the Ravens, and we'll talk more about this in the NFL Blitz. Ravens get aggressive. They get Earl Thomas and Mark Ingram. How about that? And by the way, really funny tweet on the Odell Beckham from our listener, Jason Mims. He creates a lot of funny memes for us. He says, what if I told you one boat trip would sink an entire franchise? ESPN, 30 for 30. Giants, abandoned ship. And it's all the guys wearing their Timberlands and jeans on the boat. Remember going back before they played the Packers in the playoffs.
And Odell Beckham didn't do anything and got killed for it. It is a hilarious meme. It's a great creative thing that he's done. It's out there. We'll retweet it at Mike Bell ATL and put him up C Dukes. We'll get to the Le'Veon Bell situation. I'll simply say this. Le'Veon lost, and we'll talk about it. But when we come back, you'll hear from our general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, from our Atlanta Braves, about where our team is and where they might be going on Dukes and Bell. We are Dukes and Bell. We're broadcasting live from the Gulch as we get ready for Atlanta United tonight. Monterey in town. It's CONCACAF Champions League. It's the second leg. And we got some work to do. We'll talk more about that and what Frank DeBoer had to say coming up on the show. Also, we'll hit some headlines and get back into some football conversation, guys. Free agency officially today, 4 o'clock, and all these deals you've been hearing about become official. And are the Falcons done? Or are they going to continue to do some more things? That's really the big question. But we had a chance to visit with Alex Anthopoulos, Braves general manager. He's down to spring training, obviously. Braves getting ready for the start of the season. Grapefruit League play, but we're finding out a lot about our team, man, and especially when it comes to pitching. And the first thing we asked AA was, what is the update on Folty?
Yeah, he's doing well. He's feeling very good. Playing catch, throwing. Probably going to try to throw some sliders on flat ground here in the next few days, and we'll get him off a mound hopefully by the end of the weekend, early next week. It's just going to be a matter of how long will it take to get him stretched out to start a big league game. Again, everything's trending in the right direction. If we needed him to come back as a reliever, we'd feel pretty good about him being ready for that first series. But right now, knowing it's going to take time to get him to 5-6 innings. You know, probably it's gonna, this is going to go into the season. And again, I guess it could be a week, 2 weeks, to where we feel like he's ready to go deep into a game for us.
It is Alex Anthopoulos, GM of the Braves, live from down in Florida, man, where they take care of business today. More on the box score on that one coming up. Are you impressed with Kyle Wright? I mean, certainly, you know, age-wise, he should be ready, and he's got dynamic stuff down in spring training so far.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. And I know, obviously, everyone is always going to want us to add big-time, big-name starters, but guys like Fried, Wright, Toussaint, and even Bryce Wilson today, even after the game, I was talking to Flowers, and I was asking him, I said, how do you rank these four? And he goes, wow, that's a really good problem to have. And it's spring training, but irrespective of the environment, well, just like you said, these guys all have fantastic stuff. They're all really high draft picks. These guys all have the abilities to be all-stars, you know, as soon as the current year. So Wright has certainly been he's come on sooner than I think we would have expected, considering he just got called up last September. But I think he looks as good as any young starter in Florida right now.
Alex, then, is it fair to say that as an organization, we are not looking for another starter at this point? Is it fair to say that?
You know, I think that'd be a little strong. There's obviously still guys that are out there, and there's still guys, you know, whether it's free agency or trade, and we're still keeping, I guess, our line in the water on some of that stuff. That said, seeing the young core of starters that we have, it makes the bar higher for us to go out and whether it's go get a free agent or go trade for somebody. But you know, the one thing is we used 13 guys to start games for us last year. I mean, three of those guys only started a game. So at least 10 make more than one start. You're going to need depth. You're going to need a lot of these guys to get through the year. So as much as we love these guys, these young starters, we think they have a chance to be really good. Mm-hmm. Guys will get hurt. Guys won't perform. And having more of them and having more depth is always a good thing.
It's the Braves general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, down from spring training with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. And I know that you've talked about the young arms, and we're all excited to see him. But a guy like Anibal Sanchez, like Gio Gonzalez is out there. And at least there's been reports he's willing to take a smaller deal as far as term. While you get the younger arms ready, is that something that would make sense for you?
I mean, I can't speak specifically to a specific free agent, but I can walk you through our thought process. So right now we're looking at whatever order you want to have it in, Newcomb,
right.
Gausman, Julio Teheran, obviously Pulte we think will be back very soon, those four guys being in there, and even if we have the three. And then just the way the rotation competition is lining up here, Bryce Wilson obviously throwing the ball well. Tuki Toussaint throwing the ball well. Kyle Wright throwing the ball well. Max Fried throwing the ball well. So that's four guys on top of those four that we have, three of which we expect to be healthy to start the year, and then Fulte comes back soon after that. So you could be eight deep right there. So I guess what I'd say is when we're looking at free agents, we have to feel good enough that are they significantly better than one of those guys, one of those four, and does it make sense for us to use our resources, whether it's trade or whatnot, to do that? And that's basically the correct criteria that we're going to take a look at with any trade or free agent signing.
We're talking with Alex Anthopoulos, general manager for our Atlanta Braves. Spring training going on, but opening day's right around the corner, guys. It is Dukes and Bell. And, Alex, this is the first time we've had a chance to talk to you and get your reaction. I know you've talked to other reporters about the signing of Bryce Harper in our division again. We've seen him with the Nationals, but moving on to the Phillies. Just being a general manager, what was your reaction, number one, to the money? Were you surprised at all? And then, two, with Bryce staying in our division?
You know, not surprised. I mean, just so much had been talked about leading up to free agency of Machado and Harper. Everyone talked about the Giancarlo Stanton contract, $325 million. Manny Machado obviously signed for $300. Bryce signed for a little bit above that, more years. And there was so much speculation, and really I think everyone expected the Phillies to end up with one of those two. So whether they were going to end up with Machado or Harper, they were going to get better regardless. They were going to add a big-time bat. So on the one hand, from a competitive standpoint, all those teams got better. That's going to make our jobs a lot harder, and it's more challenging. The other side of the coin is that this division is exciting. It's entertaining. Fans are going to be locked in. Everyone's going to want to come to the ballpark. Everyone's going to watch on TV. Reminds me a lot of my AL East days with Toronto, where you had the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Orioles, the Rays, and Toronto all battling all the time to try to get in. really you've got four clubs that can all win the division. The Marlins are obviously rebuilding as the fifth club. But not a surprise because there was so much anticipation and expectation. And it's going to be a dogfight. We're going to all need to stay healthy. Guys are going to have big years. But mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited about it because I think we all have a chance to win.
It is our man Alex Anthopoulos, GM for the Bravos. We heard the skipper, Snitker, saying we're going to see Vizcaino and Minter kind of in a dual closer role. We do forget sometimes that O'Day comes back and healthy, part of the trade you made last year at the deadline. What are your major concerns now with the bullpen, though?
You know, like anything, we can always use more, right? You can have more depth, and anytime you can upgrade and do better and you add an elite reliever, if somebody comes available, whether that's trade or free agency, it slots everybody down a peg. So, you know, for the most part, our bullpen was solid. It definitely had room to get better. You know, there were times that we didn't have the depth last year, and some of the guys we had to call up, you know, didn't necessarily do the best of jobs, and that didn't help our total bullpen ERA. But there's still a lot of upside to this group. There's a lot of talent. I think they can continue to get better. You know, with some of these young starters, if they continue to throw the ball well and we don't have a spot for them in the rotation, they could find themselves in the bullpen at some point as well. So we did a good job in the ninth inning last year. You always like to have that elite lockdown guy. But for the most part, Minter, Vizcaino, I mean, we won the division, won 90 games. Those guys did a great job for us.
Alex Anthopoulos, let me ask you about Josh Donaldson. By the way, I thought this was an interesting pickup. I know you have history with him, but then you go back and look at his numbers, and, you know, for the nerds like me, and I'm going, this dude, when he's healthy, he is a beast. But he hasn't been, and you guys have been really cautious with him. Where is Josh Donaldson this spring, and is he on pace to be where he needs to be?
Yeah, he's on pace. I was just talking to him after the game today. He looked great. His at-bats look outstanding, and you look beyond how hard you're hitting the ball and so on. You know, what is he chasing? How are his takes? When he doesn't swing at a pitch and he takes a strike or takes a ball, how is he seeing the ball? How has the bat speed? Everything looks great. So I think the bat is in line defensively. He's got a chance to win a gold glove. He's a great defender. And we just brought him along slowly with the running just because last spring I think he did too much too soon and he got hurt. So we're changing his routine a little bit. I mean, this guy was playing last September for the Indians at a high level, played great. Obviously was in the playoffs with them, playing all those games and playing at a high level. So he ended the year healthy. He looked very good. He missed time in 2017, but he still ended up with over 30 homers and a great OPS. And he still played enough to put up big stats. And really last year was the year where he lost the year in terms of all that playing time. But when he did come back in September, he was the Josh Donaldson of old. So from our standpoint, we're getting a guy we think is an MVP caliber player all around, offense, defense, in the clubhouse. And he's getting ready for opening day, and he's right on track.
It is Alex Anthopoulos, Braves GM, giving us a breakdown of spring training. We're excited to see Austin Riley. I know he's only 21, but want to see him up at the next level at some point. You're going to – obviously, Camargo, Culberson. Does Duvall really need to get it cranked up here at spring training before you might have to make a decision about him?
Yeah, so right now – Duvall's a guy we wanted to get a lot of at-bats in spring training. Tough for him being an everyday player with the Reds. Back-to-back years, 30 home runs or more. An all-star guy that's capable of winning the gold glove, getting gold glove votes and so on. And then last year, doesn't get as much playing time, comes over to us in a part-time role, which he hadn't really done before. And I'm not making excuses for him, but I just think when we look back at it, I think that was a tough thing for him to adjust to, make a change and be able to adjust. So we wanted to make sure to get him at bats, to get his timing down. He's had a good camp. He's looked good. He's done well. Right now there's no starting spot for him. He's competing for that fourth outfield spot. But he's done a nice job. Guys like Camargo and Riley, we're going to start getting them a look in the outfield as soon as tomorrow. And we're going to see how it looks. But one thing is we need to continue to have depth on the position player side. As good as we feel about our talent on the mound, we just don't feel like we have the same volume from a position player standpoint. So the guys like Duvall, the guys like Riley, the guys like Camargo, those guys are going to be really key for us.
Alex, if I asked you what your expectation was for Dansby Swanson at the plate, he's got to be a gold glove guy, in my opinion, in the field. What's the expectation there?
You know, I think from what he did from 17 to 18, I think he went from 6 home runs to 14 home runs with really – he hurt his wrist second week of April against the Cubs, and he played through it for five and a half months. And, again, to go from 16 to 14 home runs, He drove balls. He showed a lot more power. I mean, the bat definitely made strides from year to year, and that was with not 100% healthy wrist. So I think he's got one more gear that he can get to from an offensive standpoint. Like you said, defense is absolutely the priority. He knows that. It's something we value as a club. It's very important, especially with our young starters. But I do think what Dansby did last year is pretty much his floor, and I think he's just going to continue to get better.
One thing before we cut you loose, Alex, is Alex Anthopoulos joins us from down in Florida. Braves win 5-0, by the way. Ronald Acuna goes 3-for-3 with two RBIs. Should fans read anything into the way Snicker's using him or just experimenting? He'll still be at the top of the lineup this year.
You know, I don't – I mean, I'd say at this point, you know, Brian hasn't made a determination on the lineup. I know he's talked about various scenarios. Acuna could be at the top of the lineup. He could be in the middle behind Freddie Freeman. I mean, that's still to be determined. I think in an ideal scenario, I think – you know, I don't want to speak for him, but – if Ender Inciarte is the guy that in 2017 that had 200 hits, or second half of last year where he had close to an 800 OPS and played outstanding, and he's at the top of the lineup with Acuna 4, that works well. I also think you look at a guy like Betts last year with the Red Sox, he led off for that team and they won the MVP, and getting one of your best bats, the most at-bats on the team, is certainly a good thing as well. So I don't think we can go wrong. We don't have to make the decision today, but obviously Brian will make that call as we get to the 28th when we start.
Double A, thank you so much for jumping on with this. We're liking the way our club looks, and I can't wait till the season rolls around. Alex Anthopoulos, continue to do a great job. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you again.
All right, guys, really glad to be on.
As we said yesterday, I mean, like, his hands are tied from McGurk and corporate, so, I mean, there are some limitations perhaps at the trade deadline. If one of those starting pitchers he's confident about from the young crew can't do it, they'll have to do something then. But right now he believes in the young guys.
We got a lot of them. Hey, coming up, we're going to hit some headlines, guys. The latest on free agency, the breakdown of the two guards the Falcons signed yesterday. Hawks back in action, as well as Atlanta United. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're broadcasting live down here at the Gulch. We got a lot to get to this afternoon, but Mike said it earlier when we started the show. Come by, see us. The tracks are literally right behind us. We got the porta potties to our left if you're facing us. And Lyle and
Lachey
came up. They walked up, walking across the parking lot. We got a big hey man, and Mike has just given Lyle his first hey man ale.
Yeah, the first 10 listeners, the first Dukes and Bell 10 listeners who stopped by today, they get a free hey man ale. Compliments of Oconee Brewing. Well, actually, compliments of my wife. She went to Max and picked up a case.
Thanks,
but anyway,
Becky.
So Lyle stopped by, and he's in the witness relocation program. Apparently, his real name is Adolfo Raspari. He's a member of apparently the organized crime family in Chicago. But he's moved down here. He's got his covers. He's a NASCAR fan. He's got an Earnhardt cooler, and he's grown a mustache. I'm not buying any of it, but he does a good Southern accent.
No, he does. It explains the bag now. I get it. But we appreciate you guys for stopping by and just saying, hey, man, and thank you guys for listening to the program. He walked over. He was like, man, you guys made that railroad track thing sound exciting.
Well, we're next to a bunch of Port-a-Johns, conveniently named United, by the way, as we get ready for Atlanta United versus Monterey. And we're just on the other side of where Norfolk Southern goes flying by. Right in the middle of it's Lot A, by the way, for those who aren't familiar with the Gulch, if you're new to Atlanta. This is the big tailgate area. This is the area where there's been so much controversy, or hope, I should say, about someday having a big project, multi-use, you know, entertainment district, apartments, condos, etc. Right now, though, it's still a parking lot.
All right, man, we got more to get to. Guys, on the way, we're going to talk to Joel Corey next hour, capologist. He will help us understand what Matt Ryan did and how it helped us get two guards yesterday in free agency. 320, Joel will join us. And with all these deals going on around the NFL, we'll try to get some perspective. The Le'Veon Bell deal, Mike, and before we get to headlines, I want to just talk about this a little bit. We'll get more into it in our NFL Blitz segment 15 minutes from now. Le'Veon, guys, gets $52.5 million. It's 4 years, okay? And understand this about Le'Veon Bell. He was seeking more than $17 million a year. This is when he was with the Steelers, okay?
Right.
And the Steelers basically offered him a deal that was going to pay him about $14. Last year, when he didn't play, he forfeited $14.5 million by sitting out. He didn't sign the franchise tag.
Right.
He gave up that money, which I've always said you'll never see that back.
A lot of people thought he would show up halfway through the season where there'd be just enough games played on his season that he would get that $14.5 million. And again, he stick to his guns.
He did.
But that only makes sense, Carl, if he recoups that in the form of a big signing bonus on this next deal.
And he didn't. don't get me wrong. $35 million guaranteed is a lot of money. I don't want you to take my words and go, well, that's stupid.
But not even close to what he thought he was going to get.
No. Guys, he doesn't top the Todd Gurley deal from last season with the Rams.
Think about that long and hard, right?
Yes. So, Mike, when you hold out like this and you say, I'm done, I'm not going to play, I'm going to save my body, and you know what, there's some team out there that's going to give me 15 or 17 or maybe even more, and you get 13 annually,
right?
You lost. Now, he didn't lose. He didn't lose in life. He still got a lot of money. Right. But for resetting the running back market and being this guy that was supposed to get, you know, upwards of 17 a year, it didn't happen. He's a long way off. And, Mike, it's only because one team was in the mix.
Right. And if you even want to throw it out there that he was going to maybe throw some incentives on top of this, which then I could say, okay, I stayed a year out. I'm a year fresher legs. I could go put monster numbers up there. There's no guarantee you're going to have that same success, you know, with another team. So at the end of the day, you just laid it out there. He's making less money than Todd Gurley's deal. That's it. He thought he was going to set the market. He thought he was going to make defensive end quarterback type money, which wasn't even close.
No, really wasn't.
It's slightly more than what Freeze last deal was, right?
Exactly. I mean, overall, when you talk about 35 guaranteed, max value is 61. But that's if he plays this entire contract out.
Right.
He's a running back. I don't know if he's going to do that. And then once he gets to the end, usually they'll want to restructure or they might just let him go. So it's very unlikely that you ever get to the max value, which is why Mike and I always talk about that guaranteed portion.
Right.
With that, man, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
I really feel like we're letting Lyle and Lachey down here. I thought they thought there's a lot of excitement when they came to a live radio broadcast.
Well, there is.
Stick around. Carl's going to shoot sparklers out of his butt later. Right?
It's going to happen. It's
going to be very exciting.
That'll come up a little bit later on. There will be an admission for that, though. Hey, as we talk about Atlanta United tonight, Monterrey, by the way, what do you think transpires? Do we play better tonight?
Let's just hope we find some kind of rhythm on offense. And I know that you and I and the fans and everybody else, Jason Longshore, and we've talked to Darren Eales yesterday about that. You know, it's not going to happen overnight. And I know people don't want to hear that. The best way I can describe it is if we were into the second week in the NFL and the Falcons look sluggish. But we're only into two games of a very long season that goes all the way to October. We got a lot of games to play. And hopefully they'll get it right. But it's just the weirdness of how this season started. You and I have talked about it a million times. The compressed schedule, having to start in a Champions League competition, and you're also working in a new system and you don't have your best player. One of these guys is going to emerge. But certainly missing Miggy, maybe we underestimated just how big that was going to be when you combine that with Frank DeBoer's new system.
Here's Michael Parkhurst, guys, our captain, talking about our club needing to get it going.
The group is disappointed right now, obviously. It's been a tough run of games for us the last three. And, you know, we haven't reacted well enough, and we haven't performed well enough on the field. So, you know, we need to look things over. We need to talk as a group. You know, the good thing is we have another opportunity on Wednesday, but... We got one of the best teams in North America coming to our house.
Now, again, guys, the Arellano second game. We look flat as hell down in Costa Rica. The second game played up at Fifth Third Bank. This is a team which it's been struggling. They were struggling before they beat us, and then we just whooped them. Shock and awe. They were out of that game in 10 minutes and never recovered, and then it was just a one-way street. These guys are really good. Monterrey, they are the ultimate super club, as you know, we heard from Jason and from Darren as well. There was a team meeting. Frank talked about the players. He did apologize, by the way, to the fans if they misconstrued his saying that they were spoiled. He was asked if they were spoiled. That was part of the question. A lot of fans only heard the answer.
It was.
But either way, it didn't play well.
No, and Darren Eales, you know, tried to clarify it yesterday on the show with us. You'll hear that later around 6:20 tonight as he talks about this team and the direction. But, yes, Mike, I'm not mad at Frank DeBoer. I'm mad that our team's not performing. And if we continue to not perform at the level that's expected, then I will continue to be upset. And at some point, we'll want to see something done. I'm not there yet. You're exactly right. And everybody's calling for Frank's job at this point. That's silly. Let's give him some time. But I do think there are some things that we can do right now, all right, that can help our club. And I'm hoping that's something that's going to start tonight.
But realistically, you shouldn't expect a clean sheet against Monterrey. No. They score one goal, away goal. It basically equals two, and it's over. Now, if we can put together some scoring, I'm looking to see us just compete with these guys. Put the ball in the net. Give me something to hang my hat on. And then you beat Philadelphia, and then we have a few weeks to regroup. We would be, 1-1-1 if you beat Philadelphia, and then we'll all feel better about ourselves. We can laugh about this ha-ha-ha awkward start. But, I mean, look, you can't go back in time. We had a that great shot. We had them down 1-0. We folded in the final 10 minutes down there in Mexico. And now we got to pay the price tonight, unfortunately.
All right, guys, this just in. As we hit some headlines, it's something Mike and I talked about literally for the last month and a half, and the Falcons are doing it. Are they listening to the show? They are parting ways with Ryan Schrader. It clears $3.95 million in cap space. So Ryan Schrader is gone.
All right, now, we talked about Matt Ryan moving his money up, and it's funny, Squidbilly did the math during the commercial break. Matt's saved $7 million in cap space, created it, and the new signings, the two new guards we picked up, is about $7.1 million, so they're continuing to make more room for some of the other things. You got to have money to sign your draft class, Carl, as well.
Yep.
But if you're going to move on from a guy like Schrader, who you gave a contract to 2 years ago, why won't you move on from Vic Beasley?
Well, Mike, his money is about to be guaranteed here, so... It doesn't look like that's happening unless there's breaking news in the next hour.
But Ryan Schrader, a guy that had a great story, you know, Valdosta, undrafted free agent, unfortunately kind of went backwards last year. They lost confidence, and now he's gone.
All right, guys, more on the Falcons coming up in our NFL Blitz. That creates more room. More about Jamon Brown and James Carpenter when we come back. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.